Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
This is Margaret, your host on Labors of Love. I am here with my guest, Amy Barragree, campus minister at Texas A&M Corpus Christi and Del Mar College in Corpus Christi as well. How are you, Amy?
I'm doing good.
Okay. It's a pleasure to have you here. And you're a recent addition to the Pastoral Parish Services team.
Yeah, I got here in September.
Okay. So just a few months on board. Before we get started, though, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm originally from Kansas, so I just moved to Texas.
How do you like it?
I like it. There's no snow here, which is definitely a plus for me.
Okay, good.
I like it if I could just see it and not have to do anything with
it.
Not
have to touch it or feel it on my body.
I went to Franciscan University of Steubenville for both my undergrad and then returned for my grad work. And then I was back in Kansas working, doing adult formation and primarily RCIA at a parish for about 7 years. And they had a job opening down here, and I thought, it's further south. And I love the idea of working with college students, and it's a really important time in their lives. And so, I applied, and they thought I'd be a good fit, and here I am.
Wonderful. What makes you interested in working with young adults?
We have this gap that's been there for, generations, but it's still there, that we really deal a lot with our K through 8. We have our high school youth groups. But then when the kids go to college, students go to college, they get kind of lost. Now is the first time that they have to go to church because they decide to go to church and not because mom
and
dad said they have to. If they're going to go to something, it's their decisions, and they need to make the faith their own. And for the first time, a lot of them are surrounded by people who don't agree with their faith and being asked questions that they really don't have the resources to answer. When your professor is saying, well, religion's just silliness, well, it's hard to have that strength and that knowledge to be able to say, no, it's not, and here's why. And so it's a really important time for that community, for that fellowship, but also for that formation and, keeping them attached and feeding them. Rather than saying, we have Mass, which is a great thing. Mass is great, but for that time in their lives, a lot of times they want more. And if we aren't offering it, somebody else is.
I've noticed that there is a big gap between youth ministry and young adult ministry, and even going from young adult ministry to adult ministry. And so I think it's important that we fill that gap.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
It is because, we have our youth groups, and then you have your kids. When you have children, then you're involved with your, CCD again, helping out with it. And then you get your, 50s and such that people come to the adult formation and nothing for somebody who doesn't have children or wants to learn for themselves rather than just with their kids. And like I said, this huge gap that people are just lost in the cracks in that because we're focused on those other things, which are really good things. I'm not saying we shouldn't do high school youth group because that's a good thing, or do adult formation because that's a good thing. But, we can't lose that middle part either.
There's a book by sociologist Christian Smith called Lost in Transition, and he talks about the emerging adult, really the young adult ages, and how they do get lost in transition. As a personal example, when I went from my schooling here at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, I moved to San Antonio and went to a Catholic school. So they had masses all the time on the weekdays and weekends,
right.
Many different chapels. Well, and I was studying theology, but my parents weren't there to tell me to go to Mass. And so it was very difficult to just assert myself, even studying theology. So I can imagine those that are not, and just getting there to Mass without their parents suggesting it. But at the same time, during this age, I feel that they're seeking and finalizing their vocation. Well, yes. They've been seeking it. Mm-hmm. They should be seeking it at a younger age, and they're finalizing it, and they need a lot of role models. What would you say to that?
Absolutely. You know, more and more it's, you know, we figure out who we're going to be when we grow up, when we're in college and above. It's not, we have this all sorted out by the time we're, you know, 15, 16, 17. And even going to college, it used to be, you know, you knew what you were going to be, and so that's what you took. You know, I think the average is you change majors 4 or 5 times between when you first register and you graduate. So you have all these people who are just figuring out, who am I? And having a good role model can change everything. You know, it's the people that they attach to and the people that they look at and say, that's something I want to be, that influence the rest of their lives because they're really forming that identity at that time. And so having solid role models for them, both people who are older, you know, the ministers and whatnot, and the priests who are invaluable to this kind of a ministry, but also each other, you know, and the community they find and the friends that they find there, because they make each other role models as much as someone older. Having that community of people who can say, this is who I want to identify with, you know, changes everything.
Because then they do feel lost or they get involved with the wrong community.
Right. You know, college students quite often when they, you know, get to college, they're 1,000 miles away from anyone they've ever known. Everything's different. They've lost their entire support system. And even if they wouldn't say it that way, you know, that's the reality. And so they do. They tend to get lonely. They tend to, you know, they want to make friends. And it's really, really easy to be friends with the people who are closest physically. And end up in situations where, you know, if you look back, you're like, what was I thinking? But you end up falling in with whatever group is there and is friendly and it's inviting. And some of the groups, you know, there are a lot of groups on campus that are very, very good. A lot of different, you know, academic and social sororities and fraternities. There are different religious groups and different clubs for like service and different things. So there are lots of really good groups to get involved with too. But I think if we lose that Catholic faith in all of that, then we're still missing something huge and important.
So tell me some of the experiences that you had in college. What were some of the transitions, some of the things that you were seeking that you didn't find? And then after our break, we'll talk specifically about what's happening at A&M Corpus Christi.
Okay. Well, my college experience is a little bit different than most because I did go to Franciscan University. So, it, you know, you really don't go there unless you're Catholic and want to maintain that. We did have, you know, there'd be people from more local areas that would go there. But for the vast majority of them, they were definitely Catholic, definitely wanted to stay Catholic. They had 3 full daily masses a day. So a little bit different than what you're going to get most places. But there's still that desire for that community and the friends and how does that work with my identity? Because even among Catholics, there's a huge variety of
okay
your identities. And, you know, who was it? You know, the Catholic Church, here comes everybody. Mm-hmm. And so finding who you want to be, you know, am I attracted more to the charismatic kind of stuff or the more traditional kind of stuff? Am I, you know, outgoing and wanting to do all this service or am I more contemplative? You know, like figuring all that out based on what you're learning, but also the community around you.
I like how you put that because sometimes we think that there's that phrase cafeteria Catholics, we want to pick and choose. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Some of the students might just have a certain charism or spirituality that they mm-hmm. want to attach themselves to.
Right.
There's so many beautiful things that the Catholic faith has to offer. So there might be someone that doesn't really pray the rosary every single day, twice a day, but they do say in Our Father in their mind and they have mm-hmm. intentions for different people. So,
right.
So there are a variety of things, I guess, that Franciscan offers.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that we have the Catholic Church has this unity in faith and belief, but such a wonderful, beautiful variety and expressions of it.
Exactly.
And those
That's
personal
what I meant.
Devotions. Yeah. You know, so, you know, okay, you can't pick and choose. Do I agree with the church on abortion? Well, that's not a choice. Or, you know, is there really a Trinity? Kind of a given.
Yes.
But how do we live that out and how do we express that? You know, it was at Franciscan that I first encountered things like the Eastern Catholics. I was from a little town in Kansas. You know, we didn't have people who weren't German for the most part. So Eastern Catholicism was something new and beautiful that I got to experience because there was a Byzantine church across the river.
That reminds me of a Maronite church I used to work with, the Maronite Rite. And on Black Friday, everything was covered in black. And I was never used to going into a church, even on Black Friday, where everything was black. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that I got to experience. And so I do agree that the Catholic Church has a lot of ways of being expressed. Mm-hmm. Our goal, I think, in Young Adult and Campus Ministry is for our young people to stay faithful to the Catholic Church wherever they go.
Right.
So when we come back, we'll talk about what's going on at Texas A&M Corpus Christi.
Okay, great.
This is Labors of Love.
You still have time to register for the 26th Annual Diocese of Corpus Christi Ministry Conference, entitled The Family Fully Alive, at the American Bank Center on January 10th, with keynote speaker Dr. James Healy, Director of the Center for Family Ministry of the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and advisor to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Marriage and the Family. This conference, covering a wide range of topics, is open to anyone interested in learning more about their Catholic faith and will feature talks in Spanish, a youth track, and a number of workshops dealing with the family. Doors will open at 7 a.m. with Mass at 8:30 with Bishop Michael Mulvey presiding. For complete details, call the Chancery Office, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/ministry conference.
Welcome back. This is your host, Margaret Aladia, and again, I'm with my guest, Amy Barragree, who is the campus minister at Texas A&M University in Corpus Christi and at Del Mar College in Corpus Christi. And before the break, we were talking about the different expressions of the Catholic faith. We were talking about how young adults come to college miles and miles away from their families, and they don't have anyone pressuring them to be faithful to the Catholic faith, and so they need good role models. So That leads us now into what you're doing at A&M Corpus Christi.
All right. Like I said, I just got here, but Deacon Alfonso Ramirez actually started really trying to build up what was happening down at the Newman Center at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, starting this last year, and got people very excited. He did a wonderful job. So when I came in, I already had this group of people who were routinely attending Mass and such like that. We have like 100 people who come every Sunday to our two Masses. We added in a lot of different things. We started doing RCIA, and I have 5 people working on sacraments through that. We have men's and women's groups that meet, obviously, separately. We've been doing like Lectio Divina and some fun activities with them. We did a Bible study this last semester. This next semester, we're going to do a study of theology of the body. And we also do our club nights. It's kind of like youth group, but it's, the young adults, and we have different speakers, and the students will sometimes take care of those nights for us and plan them and do activities and such. And we're hoping this next semester to start actually doing open adoration on Fridays, to just have that available for the students to come in for 10, 15 minutes and, then go back to their studies. So that's what we're working on doing. We're also doing at least one service project a month. We did a collection of canned goods to give down to the food bank. We went to Loaves and Fishes, which is one of the shelters here, to hand out food, but also spend some time with the residents. Because for a lot of the students, they come from middle class kind of backgrounds, to encounter someone and like see the people as they are and see them as people. I think that's something we often struggle with when we see poverty, is to see them as people and relate to them and have conversations and not just drop off a check. And so it was important for us to stay and spend some time with them. But we also helped out at like the Pius X Halloween Carnival. The students had a great time at that. And so doing different things in the community. And also just social events, because they're kids. They're over 18.
Well, they're
18,
young
so they're adults,
yes.
But they enjoy, parties and getting together and just having fun. And so we do that, too. So we want to provide a community where it's not just always learning and serious stuff, but also fun. You know, community, spending time with their friends, playing games, all that sort of thing. So we try to get everything involved there.
So I divided all of what you just said into four different areas. One is the liturgical, where we celebrate Mass, we celebrate reconciliation, you're looking at adoration. One is the formational, theology of the body, Lectio Divina, men's and women's groups, and I'd like to touch on that in a bit.
Okay.
Some service opportunities,
which
is important because we can have Christ in our hearts, but it's not until we put it into action that we're really following his lead as servant leader. And then there's the social events where they all get together and party.
Yeah.
Very safely, very safely.
Yes, yes.
So let's talk about the men's and women's group. What do you all do? What is your goal with those?
Really, it's with anything, but also with faith. Boys talk differently to boys than they talk to girls. You know, men getting together to talk about their faith, it's going to be different than if it's men and women. And the same thing with women. You know, if there are guys around, especially at this age group, if there are guys around or girls, you know, for the opposite gender, you start playing to that a little bit. And so it's important to have some separation there occasionally, not for everything. I have somebody who helps me. His name's Tony Guajardo that helps me, and he runs the men's group. So I don't really know what they do. I'm just trusting him.
They do men stuff.
Yes, they do manly men things. For the girls, we've been doing using Lectio Divina, going through the readings for the next Sunday, so that when we get to Mass, you know, we've already thought about this and how does this affect me, and how is this speaking to me as well as, you know, to the church in general. And I think doing that helps you to pay attention more at Mass. The homily has a little more meaning because it's not just, oh wait, Father's talking. But what does Father think about this? Because I remember what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it draws you a little more into it.
So they're more engaged.
Right.
So
right.
Tell me, for our listeners, what is Lectio Divina?
Lectio Divina literally is divine reading. But it's a way of praying with scriptures. You know, there are four steps to it. You're reading, and it's not like you're reading the newspaper or whatever blog you're, you know, looking at. But a meditative reading. Slow, focused. Then meditation, you know, what does this mean? What's God saying? And how's he drawing out to me? Because scripture is not just a 2,000-year-old book that says stuff about history, but it's God speaking to us today and speaking to our hearts. So, you know, a word or a phrase that might not actually relate to the whole passage, you know, might be how God's speaking to us. And so going through that. Then prayer, that conversation with God, but also allowing it to change us. And then contemplation, which in this case is the, you know, be still and know that I am God. You know, we as a culture constantly need something happening. We have like five screens going at once. You know, I've caught myself doing this, sitting at home. I have my computer on. I have the TV on. And then I'm texting on my phone. I'm like, what am I doing? But taking that time just to stop and to spend some time in silence with God. And, of course, you go back and forth on these stages. They're not strict 1, 2, 3, 4, done. But it's a way of praying with and using Scripture as God's word to you and God's love letter to his people.
And it's not complicated. Anyone can get involved.
Right. It's really easy to do. Once you have those steps, you're like, okay, you know, it's this.
I can do this.
And it's a wonderful way to use the scriptures, because I think scriptures tend to be intimidating to us.
I see.
It's a really big book, and there are lots of names I can't pronounce. A lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get into like Numbers and Leviticus, and you know, you start going cross-eyed because 12 tribes just gave the exact same thing, but we had to write it out each time. But it's a way of approaching scripture that's less intimidating. And because we're just using the readings for the coming Sunday, it's accessible. We can find whatever Sunday's coming. Or if you're doing it individually, you can pick a book and say, I'm going to work my way through this book. Or, you know, using whatever daily readings and such like that. So it's not, you know, you don't need a lot of resources. You don't need, you know, you need a Bible. Basically, that's all you need.
There you go.
To be able to do it.
And if you're interested in Lectio Divina, it is spelled L-E-C-T-I-O. Divina, and you can Google it and learn how to practice Lectio Divina. You can also look for the daily readings at usccb.org. or just Google Catholic Sunday readings and find the right website to get you to those readings. I want to go ahead and take the next couple of minutes to talk about theology of the body, because I think that is unique. I think it's essential for our young adults. It's not just about sex. It's about how God created us in his image and likeness and how we're complementary to one another. So I'm excited you all are working on that. Tell me about theology of the body.
Well, part of the reason, you know, the students actually asked me if we could do this, because it is something that most of them haven't heard. You know, we were reading the Love is Our Mission.
That's the catechetical document for the World Meeting of Families for next year.
Right. And so in that, it talks about family. It talks about sexuality, because you can't talk about families without that. And they asked whether we could do something more with that. And one of the previous campus ministers had already ordered it's a video series by, I think it's Christopher West, for it. But we're inundated with all these images and ideas from society about what sexuality is, who we are as men and women, and what that means, and how we use our sexuality, and how we view ourselves. And a lot of the messages we get are just bad. There's no other way around it. It's not like, well, it could be good. No, it's just bad. It's demeaning, particularly to women. And giving them another way of viewing that and seeing themselves as precious and seeing that relationship as something that isn't, trying to think of a good way to say, quite as mercenary. You know, we get in relationships because of how it helps me. It's very selfish in general. And to seeing how what it means for eternity and what it means for how God created us to be, I think is really important, because we can't understand the church's teaching on why, you know, on premarital sex or on contraception or on marriage being for life if we don't understand the basics of how do we view our bodies? How did God create us? Why is all of this? What are we protecting with these rules, not just what are we banning? And that's something with the church. We have all these, society tends to view the church as no to this and no to that and no to that.
Don't do this, don't do that.
But in reality, every time the church says no, it's because she's saying yes to something greater. She says no to, you know, euthanasia and abortion because she says yes to life. She's saying no to premarital sex because she's saying yes to what sex is supposed to be. And if we don't understand what it's supposed to be, then we don't understand the no. And so students really need that. Young adults really need to understand the stuff behind that no.
Well, the fact is the Catholic Church isn't here to quench our joy in life. They're
right.
Here to help us get into heaven,
right,
and follow the will of God. Amy, I'm so happy that you were here, and God bless you in your ministry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Stay with us. Deacon Nolte with Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
There is no denying that we live in difficult times. Ask anyone you know, and they can recite a litany of what is wrong with the world. In fact, they can tell you what's wrong with our country. The answers you get will be as different as the people you ask. For some, it's the economy. For others, it's Democrats and Republicans, the haves or have-nots, medical care, or Social Security. The list goes on and on. All of it can sometimes beat us down, cause us to question if anything really matters. We start giving in on things we used to believe were important, but now we're not so sure. We start to go along with the majority, voting for the most popular candidate, even when we know deep in our hearts that there might be someone else who's better. We begin to doubt what we once believed. We begin to seek to please ourselves, and we turn to those things that we think will bring us happiness. But they always leave us thirsting for more. It begins to seem as if God doesn't care. Being tired and discouraged makes it easy to want to quit, easy to give up trying to live a righteous life. Keeping our faith and trusting in God when we're surrounded by suffering and poverty is hard. Sometimes it doesn't seem to make any sense. We wonder, what's the use of fighting it? Everybody else does it. Does it really matter what I do? And yet God has not given up on us. These times of discouragement are the times when we need to turn to Him with even greater prayer, like the widow in Scripture who was seeking justice before the dishonest judge. We have to be persistent in our prayers. God is always present, ready to lift us up, to redirect our steps, and draw us nearer to Him. He promises to renew our hearts, to give us natural hearts. This means that He will remove the stones that hard living has filled our hearts with and that prevent us from knowing peace or from having hope. The psalmist knew this well, and through his words invites us to call upon God, to invite Him to step in and give us direction. Listen to the words. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is You who know my ways. You are my refuge. Rescue me. Jesus goes even further and tells us, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. We hear these words echoed in the words of so many popular songs, such as You Raise Me Up, when it says, when I am down and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until You come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. I am strong when I am on Your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. When everything around us becomes dark and dreary, that is the time for our faith to shine the brightest, the time for us to call upon God with renewed vigor. Let us dwell upon the promises He has given us, and may your sacred moments lead you to that place where Jesus raises you up, gives you rest, and rescues you. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Amy Barragry, campus minister at A&M Corpus Christi and Del Mar College. If you would like more information about the Young Adult and Campus Ministry out there, please call 361-879-5448 or visit us at diocesecc.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.